As we unfold this, the last one on tithing, and then we roll into who Jesus is next month, I want you to get a picture of who Jesus is, and I want you to tithe. And so this is a combo today, okay? It's just going to be good. Somebody say amen. Anytime it's the Word of God, it is good. And so we're going to be in Hebrews chapter 7. If you have your Bible, open it up to Hebrews chapter 7. And we're going to read 7 through 10. We're going to read Hebrews 7 through 10. We're just going to kind of unfold this. We're going to be talking about Melchizedek. Now, Melchizedek is a king. He has no beginning and he has no ending. And so some say that he was a real king. We don't know much about him. We don't know where his kingdom was. But what we do know is that he looks a whole lot like Jesus, okay? And so some say it's a theophany, as you know, it's a picture of Jesus. It's a real king. It just kind of shows us or points to who Jesus is. We don't know anything about him, on and on and on. Well, I want you to look at, it is a type of Christ, if you will, King Melchizedek. And here in Hebrews chapter 7, let's just go ahead and read it, okay? It says, "For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him." Now, what he's doing is he's returning from the slaughter of the kings of Sodom and Gomorrah. Okay, and he's conquered Sodom and Gomorrah because what happened was they took Lot, and he Abram went to rescue Lot, and so as he goes in, he kind of just cleans it out and gets Lot and Lot's family back into protection, and that's what he's talking about here is Sodom and Gomorrah. Verse 2, "To whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, first being translated king of righteousness, and then also king of Salem," meaning king of peace. Do you see the picture here that we're getting? That it looks just like Jesus, amen? And besides that, who is greater than Abraham? I mean, we look at Abraham, man, he is the greatest patriarch. I mean, there was nobody greater than Abraham except for Melchizedek. And Abraham tithes to Melchizedek. I find this very, very interesting. So then here in 3, it says, let's look at 2 again. He says, "King of righteousness and then also king of Salem," meaning king of peace. Verse 3, "Without father, without mother, without genealogy, having neither beginning of days nor any end of life, but made like the Son of God, remains a priest continually." Now here's the interesting thing about the priest is that they would take their office, and generally by the age of 50, they were done with that office. And so they moved on, and another one moved in his place. Well, this one, King Melchizedek, is a priest, and he is a priest without end. In other words, he never steps out of his position. Well, if we go to Hebrews chapter 4, we're not going to because that's next week. But if we go to Hebrews chapter 4, we see that Jesus is the Most High, the priest, Most High Priest, just like we see going on here with Melchizedek. So what we see is this picture of Jesus Christ in Melchizedek. And what we see is we're going to see Abraham's going to give Melchizedek a tithe. Now, we have to remember that Abraham is before the law. So when people say, well, tithing is under the law. No, tithing was way before the law. And by the way, remember this. I'm not after your money. I'm after your heart because that's all that God wants. And so if I can teach you what the Bible says and you stop and refocus on God and you give him all you have, I'm going to tell you, you're going to be blessed. And we're going to see this in Hebrews and in Genesis. And so in verse 4, it says, "Now consider how great this man was, whom even the patriarch Abraham gave a tenth of the spoils." How great he was. Go to Genesis. Hold your spot in Hebrews, because we're going to be coming back to it. So go to Genesis. And for those of you who don't know, Genesis is the first book of the Bible. And in Genesis chapter 14, now, in Genesis 14, By the way, Genesis is in the beginning because Genesis means beginning. And so when you see Genesis, it means beginning. Exodus means exiting. It's when the Jews were exiting Egypt. Leviticus is law. So you see, there's reasons for the names and their places in the Bible. And so Genesis is the beginning in Genesis 14, verse 18 through 20. Then Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. He was the priest of God Most High. And he blessed him and said, "Blessed be Abram of God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth, and blessed be God Most High, who has delivered your enemies into your hand." And then it says, "And he gave him a tithe of all." And so we see that God is blessing Abraham, and Abraham gives God a tithe. I wonder where the tithe came from. Whose idea was the tithe? You know, you think about it and you go, okay, well, maybe man made it up. But you know, man could have had went 100 different ways with the tithe, right? 1%, 2%, 3%, 4%, 5%, up to 100. You see 100 different ways there? Okay. Anyway, so who landed on the tenth? Who landed on the tithe? Was it man? I think it was God. Because as we see, it's just a thing that was done. We see that Abraham did it. We see that Jacob did it. Where did the tenth come from? Well, I believe it was God. But no matter where it came from, the Bible consistently talks about the tithe. And so what we see here, and all throughout, look, it doesn't just end here. If we go into Matthew 23:23, which you don't have to turn there, but Jesus told the Pharisees. Now, listen, Jesus condemned the Pharisees at almost at every turn. Amen. He was like, "Man, you guys are like white sepulchers. On the outside, you're all pretty and clean and nice, but on the inside, you're like dead man's bones. You are like sewage. You stink. You're rotting. You're dying on the inside, but on the outside, you look wonderful." And he says, "You know what? You're tithing, and you're supposed to tithe. This is the right thing to do, but then you're forgetting these other things, and you're not to forget any of it. You're to do all of it." And so we see that Jesus continues it in the New Testament. We see it started in the Old Testament before the law. We see that it lasted through the law. We see in the New Testament, Jesus says, keep it going. And then we get to Hebrews chapter 7. We see that we are called to do what Abraham has done. And what did Abraham do? He gave a tithe or a tenth of all that he had. So what I want you guys to see today as we are wrapping up Stewardship Month, I want you to see that the tenth or the tithe is consistent throughout Scripture. That is why I stand on it. Some say, "Well, you know what? I don't believe in a tithe. I believe in grace giving." Well, praise God. Then you should be giving more than anybody. Because, right? Hey, man, if it's grace giving, how thankful are you for the grace God has bestowed upon you? And so, man, there should be no limit. You should already be living on the 10 and giving the 90. And so I'm just going to kind of hang with the tithe because it just works a whole lot better for me. Amen. And for some others as well. But my whole point is, guys, that we see the tithe throughout Scripture. We don't see grace giving throughout Scripture. I just don't see it. I ask people all the time, give me the verses that tell you it's grace giving. In other words, you call the shots. You say what you're going to give to God. And then I get, well, you know, God loves a cheerful giver. That's overall. And what are we talking about? Giving to the saints who had lost their homes and businesses and families. And so that's out of context. You can't use grace giving to give to God when it's talking about giving to the Jews. And then it says that, you know, put aside as God has prospered you. Well, what is that? What if we're to put aside as God has prospered us, how much is that? Do we toss $2 in the plate and go, "God, thank you for prospering me, and this is what I've put aside for it"? Well, that's not too thankful. And so what is it? It just kind of leaves this void where we don't know where to go or what to do with it. And so we see consistently, though, the tithe is consistent. We see it all throughout Scripture, before the law, through the law, after the law. And we just see it makes sense. You know, we learned in Proverbs where it said, that you have kept back what is right. Well, what's right? And we know that it applies to us because we claim the three verses before that, amen? Love the Lord thy God with all your heart, with all your mind. No. What is that one? Sorry, I just jumped fast forward in the New Testament. But my brain skipped. But it says, what is right? Well, we know the tithe is right. And so what we see is we see a consistency in the tithe throughout all the scripture, and we don't see that in grace giving. And so if you are claiming the amount to give, I'm guessing if it's not over the tithe, that you're claiming the wrong amount. Okay? Because what is the right amount in Proverbs? The tithe. It's just obvious. It's so consistent throughout all of Scripture. You know, we claim parts of the Old Testament, but then when it gets to something we don't like, we cast it aside. We're like, that don't apply to us. Well, wait a minute. If it doesn't apply to us, then why do we even bother with it? See, I think what the Old Testament does is it shows us who God is, what God expects, and carries it all the way through. We see in Genesis that Abraham gave of the tithe. We see in Proverbs that you're not to short God what is right, and we believe that that would be the reference of the tithe because it's an obvious thing that we understand. And then we get into Malachi, and God says, listen, you've robbed me. And they say, how have we robbed you, God? And he says, in tithes and offerings. And so we see from Genesis to the very end of the Old Testament, we see a consistency of the tithe. And we see that God's attitude doesn't change about the tithe. He wants it. He expects it. Not because he's broke and needs it. He is not a bank who's going, man, if I don't collect, I'm going to go under. Because he owns everything. He owns you. He owns the tithe. He owns your job. He owns your home. He owns your cars and your boats and your trucks and your motorcycles and your toys and your broken toys and your good toys. And I mean, he owns everything. And so he gets over here into Malachi, and he says, you've robbed me. How? Through tithes and offerings. And so we see that it was established with Abraham. It has moved all the way through, and nothing changed. We get to Hebrews. So now we're back into Hebrews, and we're back in Hebrews 7:5. In 7:5, well, 7:4 says, now consider how great this man was to whom even the patriarch Abraham gave a tenth of the spoils. And indeed, those who are the sons of Levi who receive the priesthood have a commandment to receive tithes. And so we know that the priests, the Levitical priests, they receive the tithe. In other words, you are to take your tithe, you're to take it to church, they are to receive the tithe. They can't own land, they're not allowed to own land, so they live off of the tithe. And if you bring the tithe into the storehouse, the church, the temple, they would receive the tithe. They were required to receive the tithe, and that's how they made their living. But look what happens here. Verse 5, and indeed those who are the sons of Levi who receive the priesthood have a commandment to receive tithes from the people according to the law, that is, from their brethren, though they have come from the loins of Abraham. But he whose genealogy is not derived from them, who is that? Melchizedek. Us. Who is not derived from Abraham, but he whose genealogy is not derived from them received, I'm sorry, this is Melchizedek, received tithes from Abraham and blessed him who had the promises. Now, beyond all contradiction, the lesser is blessed by the better. And so what we see here is Abraham is less than Melchizedek, which means Melchizedek is greater than Abraham. Who's greater than Abraham other than Jesus Christ our Lord? Melchizedek, but Melchizedek's the picture of Christ. And so what we see is Abraham gives to him, and then what happens? What do we read here that happens after Abraham gave to, in verse 7, now beyond all contradiction, the lesser is blessed by the better. So Abraham gives to Melchizedek, and then what happens? Melchizedek does what? Gives back to Abraham. He blessed him. Guys, I want you to see that God says, you give to me, and I'm going to give back to you. You withhold the blessings I want to give back to you. God doesn't need your money. God wants your money. And what we're going to find out, I want you to go to Luke right here. Go to Luke chapter 16. Keep your spot in Hebrews. Go to Luke chapter 16. Luke is to the left of Hebrews, just so that you guys know. Luke chapter 16. In Luke chapter 16, starting in verse 10. And we're going to read 10 to 13. Here's what we're going to find very interesting, and this is what Abraham learned. Verse 10, he who is faithful in what is least is faithful also in much. And he who is unjust in what is least is also unjust also in much. What I find interesting about this verse right here is people will say, Pastor, when I hit the lottery, I'm going to build you a new church. And I go, do you tithe now? Well, I can't afford to. But when I hit the lottery, I'm going to build you a new church. And you know what the Bible says? If you're not giving in the little, you'll never give away the big. Listen, if you make $500 and God says, give me 50, you go, oh, 50 bucks isn't bad. I can give you 50. But if you make 5,000 and God says, give me 500, what is up with writing that big check? It hurts, don't it? Anybody ever been there? You're like, whoo, this is a lot of money. I remember when we sold our house in North Carolina, when we moved to Missouri, and of course we had to write that check, and when we wrote that check, which was in the thousands, double digit, right? I'm going, whoo, okay, Lord, I'm in college now, and Lord, I have a wife and I have two children, and I live in a town I've never been to before, and Lord, I'm broke, but Lord, okay, anybody ever been there? You're like, whoo, this is a big check I got to write, and I really need the money, and so why should I give it to the church when I need it for me, because I'm in Missouri, I don't have a job, I started college, I have two kids, I rented a house, I mean, listen, I moved everything, sold my business, sold everything, the business hadn't gone through yet, or all the transaction with the business hadn't gone through, and so we were waiting on all that to happen, And I'm going, Lord, I don't have no money, but I could use this money. And yet we wrote the check anyway. Why? Because it's God's. And I understood it was God's. But, you know, if you can't write the $5 check or the $50 check, you will never be able to write the $500 check or the $5,000 check. You're just not going to do it. And you go, yes, I will. But wait a minute, are you calling God a liar? And seeing how it's in red print, are you calling Jesus a liar? I'm just saying, it's a question, a rhetorical question, but you understand what I'm saying. And so in 10, he says, he who is faithful is in what is least is faithful also in much. And he who is unjust in what is least is unjust also in much. If you can't give the little, you won't give the greater. I mean, it just is what it is. I had a guy tell me one time, Pastor, I just don't understand why people don't tithe. And the whole time, he's not tithing. Which is really funny to me. Because I knew that because we had already had a conversation about it. And he goes, like, I'm trying, but it's so easy. Well, wait a minute. Help me out here. Look here in 11. Therefore, if you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? So it's obvious we're talking about money because mammon is money. Look here in 12. And if you have not been faithful in what is another man's, who will give you what is your own? Then in 13, he says this. No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. And so we see that he says here, you know what, if you're not going to take care of somebody else's, you're not going to take care of what, or who's going to give you what's your own. I had a friend of mine at the time, and of course this is before I was saved, and he said, we were moving a pool table into the basement. Now, as you go down the steps, there's a brick wall at the bottom of the staircase, and we had to make a hard right-hand turn to take it over into the main part of the basement. And it was a slate, quarter-inch slate table. And so anybody know how heavy those things are? Holy smoke, man. We were straining and trying to do all we could to hold it back and let it go down. And so it started to go because he lost his footing, and I'm grabbing it, trying to hold it back, and he jumped out of the way, just let it go. I couldn't hold it back. And it went down, and when it went down, it was like, boom, and it hit the concrete wall, and you see the table just go like that. That's what I did. Oh. And I looked at him, and I said, man, you could have done better. And his response was, Mind over matter. If it ain't mine, it don't matter. That was his response. Let me just say this. I wasn't saved at the time, and that day ended our friendship. And so he no longer wanted to be around me, and I was still frustrated at him. But that's our mentality sometimes, isn't it? Mind over matter. If it ain't mine, it don't matter. And we get lost in it's all about me. And God says, if I can't trust you with the things I want to give you, then I'm not going to give them to you. And if you're not going to be faithful, notice here in verse 10, faithful, the word faithful in verse 10, Luke 16:10 is twice. Verse 11, faithful is once. Verse 12, faithful is once. If we go to 13, there's nothing there except for to say that if you know what, if you can't serve your money and God, it's not going to work. So the question is, who is your God? Who do you serve? Who do you idolize? Are you withholding? If you're withholding from God what is God's, and we read that in Proverbs, what is right, then I'm going to guess God's not your God. And I know you go, Pastor, you know what? That's meddling. Well, I'm not trying to meddle. I'm just trying to help you to see. And listen, there may be nothing in the way between you and God. I don't know. My job is to point it out. What could get in the way, your job is to internalize and then fix it, okay? So if we see here in 16:13 of Luke, no servant shall serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. So we've seen faithful. And then in 1 Corinthians, it'll be up on the board, on the screen there. You don't have to turn to it. 1 Corinthians 4:2. In 1 Corinthians 4:2, it says, moreover, in other words, more important than anything else, moreover, the most important thing, moreover, it is required in stewards that one be found faithful. God looks at us and he says, I'm going to judge you on how faithful you are. Now, this isn't just money. This is faithful with your life in Christ. Are you faithful to serve God? Are you faithful to pray? Are you faithful to live right? Are you faithful to do what's right? Or are you like on a roller coaster, man? One day you're serving God and everything is grand and it's fantastic. And then the next day you're down in the valley living for yourself, wondering why everything's going wrong. You know, when we are not faithful to God, we are on a roller coaster. And I'm telling you, a roller coaster has highs and lows. But man, those lows can get pretty low sometime. Amen? And God says, if you're not faithful, which is why, by the way, the most important thing found in a steward, who's the steward? If you're a Christian, you are to be a steward of God. You are to be faithful more than anything. And I think sometimes we go, you know what? Today I love Jesus. And then we wake up and we go, you know, today I love me. I mean, it's just... What makes the change? I think what makes the change is the fact, number one, we're not faithful, and number two, we don't really take the time to fall in love with God. I think that's our biggest issue when we fall from being faithful. But yet Jesus was faithful. He was faithful in everything. In everything that he did, he was faithful. And you go, well, he's God, he can do that. No, he was determined. There's a huge difference, guys. What makes us not be faithful? Our decisions to serve God or serve ourselves. You know, people say, it's so hard to serve Jesus. It's so hard to tithe. It's so hard to live right. It's so hard. No, you know what it is? It's you have fed the flesh too long, or you are playing or dabbling in things of the flesh, and it's drawing you away. It's distracting your attention. You're like this. You're going, okay, God, I'm looking at you, God. I love you, God. This is good. Oh, this is good over here. Okay, I love you, God. And that's what we do. Is we're being drawn away. Why? It's because we're not being faithful to say, you know what, God? That is going to hurt me. You love me, and I'm going to stay right here. And money is one of the first things to draw us away from God. It's just fact. That's why God wrote, you cannot serve two gods, mammon and God. I mean, he makes it very clear. And so we see in 1 Corinthians 4:2 that a steward is to be found faithful above all. Guys, I just want to show you, as we end Stewardship Month, as we end talking about money for another year, I just want to remind you of what God says about it. Listen, whether you give or you don't give to the church, because you go, well, you know what? All the church does, every time I go, all they want is my money. I don't want your money. I'm just going to tell you up front, because I've had people who go, well, Pastor, if you don't do such and such, we're leaving and I'm going to take my money with me. Well, I would have assumed that the two would have went together, but, you know, kind of a no-brainer there. But, and then I look at them, and I've said this on numerous occasions. As a matter of fact, I was told one time when we first started, and there was a couple that who gave more than everybody else, and as a matter of fact, our rent was $800 a month, and they were more than half of the rent. And if they left, that money went with them, obviously, and then we were left without enough to pay the rent. And I'm like, okay, here we go. And somebody said, Pastor, you don't want to let them go, because if you let them go, you can't pay the bills. And I looked at him and I said, you're forgetting. They don't pay the bills. God does. And guess what? I waved goodbye as they left. Not because I wanted to, but because it was the inevitable at that time. And guess what God did the following week? We had a snowstorm. And we had, I think it was 13 or 16 people. So I can't remember the exact number, but we were in the mid to low teens that showed up. And I went, Lord, this was not what I expected this week. And so, Lord, you need to fix something here, because, Lord, if we don't have the money come in today, there's no way we're going to pay the rent that's due the following week, because we won't have enough money. And so, God, be God. That's all I want you to do, you know, like, right? Anybody ever been there? And so we had visitors come in that day. So we had 13 to 16 people, and we had two visitors. They were husband and wife. They come in, and they've never been back since. And they wrote a check that covered more than 2 weeks of the tithe of the couple that left. I went, Lord, forgive me for going into panic mode. Forgive me for that, God. You have it under control. It was a snowstorm. The church that they normally go to closed because snowstorm, they did, whatever reason, they just closed church down. And I said, listen, as long as I can get there, I'm not closing church down, because if one other person gets there, we'll just sit and talk about Jesus. Amen. And so I just never closed, and except for one time in 8 years, and that was when we lost power. And then I went to another church, only to be thankful that I have my church. And so but I'm just telling you, that's what God does. God says, listen to me, I will take care of you. I will give you everything you need. I will provide for you. Listen, if you are faithful, I am more than faithful. If you are faithful, listen, the greater is going to bless the lesser. And I don't know about you, but I tell you right now, everybody in this room is the lesser. God is the greater. And what we do when we say, God, I can't give to you, and again, we see all through Scripture, I know it's in the law, but I also know it's before the law. I know it's in the law. I know it's through the law. I know it's in the New Testament. Now we're in Hebrews, and it talks about the tithe in Hebrews, and it says we are to be like Abraham was. I'm just going to tell you right now, God says the tithe is what keeps my building open. The tithe is what takes care of those who labor in the ministry, and those who labor in the ministry are worthy of their hire. In other words, they need to be paid. And so God says, for that, you need to take care of the house of God. Abraham got it. Jacob got it. Everybody else in the Old Testament got it. Those in the New Testament got it. And you know, the majority today get it. It's just what it is. And so then we go over here in the Hebrews chapter 7, verse 7. Now, beyond all contradiction, the lesser is blessed by the better. Verse 8. Here mortal men receive tithes, but there he receives them, of whom it is witnessed that he lives. Even Levi, who receives the tithes paid tithes. Levi, the priest, did what? Paid the tithe. Why? Why? When it's supposed to get to the priest and it's supposed to support the priest. Because guess what? The priest understands that the lesser receives or is blessed from the greater. And so even the priest pays the tithe through Abraham, so to speak. Verse 10, for it was still in the loins of his father when Melchizedek met him. And so guys, as we go through this and we unfold Abraham and the genealogy and what's happening, Abraham gives to Melchizedek and Melchizedek blesses Abraham because Melchizedek is greater than Abraham. But who's greater than Abraham in the land? Jesus is. Who's greater than us? Jesus is. What's the purpose of the tithe? What's the purpose of giving? What is the purpose of doing? Not because God needs it, but because God says, listen, if I can get you past your money and focused on me, I have you. And all I want is you. He's like, I don't want anything else. I want you. And when I have you, then he says, you know what? I'm going to bless you. 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 Now I want you to go to Malachi. Malachi chapter 3. And I just want you to see something here. Malachi is the last book of the New Testament, the first book of the last book of the Old Testament, and right before the first book of the New Testament. Of course, if it's the last of the Old, it would be right before the first of the New, right? Just kind of so you guys see this. Look here in 3:10. In 3:10, God says this, and this is where I'm going to challenge you guys. You can do whatever you want. I don't know. I'm telling you, I don't know who tithes. I don't know who doesn't tithe. I don't know what you give. I don't know what you don't give. I don't know. Unless somebody just comes up, and I've had people hand me a check or hand me cash, and I go, here's what I need you to do. I need you to put it in a red envelope, the red and white envelope back there, and you put your name on it, and you mark what it's for, and then you give it to one of the ushers, or I don't even like to handle money. How many have given me money and seen me go, you put it in an envelope, right? Yeah, I don't want to be a part of it. I don't want to know what anybody gives. I don't want to know what you do. I don't know why you want to do it. I just don't want, it's between you and God. It's not, this isn't a personal thing with me. I have gotten past and matured enough in my walk that my faith is not disturbed or disrupted by your faith. You know what I'm saying? I mean, God's good. I know he's good, and I hold on to him, and I pray that you will do the same. But look here in Malachi 3:10. In Malachi 3:10, he says, bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. And then he says this, try me now, test me. Prove me. That's what he's saying here. And you go, what? Test God? We're never to test God. This is the only place in the Bible where God says, test me. This is the only place in the Bible where God says, go ahead. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to test me in this to see if I'm lying to you. And then look what he says. And this is what I want you guys to grab hold of. He says, try me now in this. We're in verse 10, 3:10, Malachi 3:10. He says, try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts. If I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. So the first thing I want you to see that God promises if we tithe is that he will bless us. Now if you want to give for the blessing, that's between you and God. I'm just telling you, God says test him, prove him, and see if he won't open up windows of heaven. You know what? He might give you a better job that pays you more. He might just give you a better job that doesn't pay you more, but man, you are so much more content in that job, you feel like you got a raise. Amen? He might cause your car to go longer. He might cause your roof to last longer on your house. He might, listen, I don't know how God's going to choose to do it. All I know is that God promises to pour out blessing on you. Now, either you believe God is God and that God is a God who cannot lie and that God is going to bless you, or God is a liar and he's not going to bless you. There's no in between with this. But he doesn't just stop there, and I love that. I love the fact that I love the next verse more than I love the fact that God's going to pour out blessings on me. Here's what he says in verse 11. And so not only will I bless you tremendously for the tithe. He's very clear it's the tithe. Look here in 11. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sake. Who's the devourer? Satan. Satan. He says, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to get him off your back. I'm going to get him out of your engine. I'm going to get him out of your transmission. I'm going to get him out of your house. I'm going to get him off your roof. I'm going to get him out of your job. He says, look, I am going to rebuke the devourer. In other words, I am going to cause him to be refrained for your sake. Can you imagine if God didn't rebuke the devourer, the hell and the wrath that Satan wants to pour out on us? If you don't understand what that looks like, read the first two chapters of Job. Oh my goodness. When God says, okay, Satan, you have free reign to do whatever you want, but you cannot take his life. You want to see how evil and ruthless Satan is? Watch what he does to Job when he has free reign to do it. And so God puts stipulations on Satan, and here God says, I will rebuke. Not only will I bless you, not only will I pour out blessing on you, and I'm not saying he's going to make you rich. Listen, blessing comes in so many ways. How many have ever gotten a blessing and not got one dime? I'm telling you, man, blessing comes in so many ways. You know what? You may need something and your neighbor will have it and they hear that you need it and they come up and go, hey, you know what? I heard you need this. Here, I'm not using it. You can have it. Amen. You just saved me a bunch of money. Well, you know what? God's blessed me. I want to be a blessing to you. That's what God uses. That's what God likes. And so he says, listen, I'll bless you. I'll open up the windows of heaven. I'm going to pour it out on you. It's going to look all kinds of different ways. You may never receive a dime, but I promise you, there are going to be blessings that are going to make your life go so much better. And then he says, not only that, and, verse 11, and means on top of the blessings, above the blessings, including after the blessings, and means more than just the blessings, I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes. Guys, there's two promises right there from a God who cannot lie. Two promises from our Father in heaven. Two promises. Both of which benefit us. Amen? Can you see the benefit? I don't know what it looks like. I'm not telling you guys are going to get rich. I'm just telling you what the Word of God says is that I will open up, I'll bless you so much you can't receive it all. And by the way, do you know God's blessing us a lot right now? And you know why some of us can't see it? It's because we're not walking with God. You're like, well, I've never been blessed because I tithe. Well, that tells me your spiritual depravity. If you've not been blessed by God, it's because you can't see the blessings. You're too busy being a naggy nay-nay or whatever it is. I have no clue what you would call them. A negative Nelly. There you go, right? Is that one of them? I have no clue. Naggy, nay, nay. I guess that wasn't it. I was listening to a comedian, and I don't even know his name. I just know that he's about this big around, and he always makes jokes about how he was skiing and that the little kid, and he was in a white, full white a jumpsuit, you know, ski outfit, and the kids, he was at the top getting ready to go skiing, and the kids yelled up, look, there's snowman! And then he crashed at the bottom, and they're going, snowman's dead! And he says, I'll never go skiing again. Nay, nay. All right, I guess you had to hear it. So anyway, verse 11 says, and I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground. He's not going to destroy your efforts, your work, what you're doing. He says, I'm going to hold Satan back from doing that. Nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field, says the Lord of hosts. Your efforts aren't going to come up void. I just want you to see that God says, if you tithe, and I want you to try me, I want you to test me in this, and see if I won't do what I say I'm going to do. I will bless you. I'll rebuke the devourer. I will cause your fruit not to hit the ground, and I will cause your work efforts to grow. This is from a God who cannot lie. So guys, as we end this stewardship series, I want you to see, and I want you to ask yourself this question. Am I stopping the blessings of God because I'm not trusting Him? And you go, Pastor, this is guilt trip trying to lay on me to just tithe. No, no, no. No, no. Wait a minute. Did you not read Malachi 3:10 through 12 again? I want you to see God says, you trust me, I bless you. You are the lesser, I am the greater. All through Scripture, He's very consistent with that. And that's what I want you to see. I'm not looking for one verse to show you tithing. I'm looking at the whole history of God, and tithing is in it from the beginning to the end. The promises of God are in it from the beginning to the end. The question is, do you trust Him? Do you believe Him? That's the question. And so this morning, I'm just challenging you. Step out and trust God. And it very well could change your life. Has anybody ever heard of Mitchell's Hair Care Products? Paul Mitchell? Okay, I went to church with Paul and his brother. And they actually were starting that business up, and it was before I was saved, obviously, that they started a business. But they started the business up, and it was struggling, and it was struggling, and struggling, and struggling. And they ended up getting saved, and when they got saved, they started tithing personally, and they noticed that their life was changing personally. And so they said, you know what, here's what we're going to do. We're going to tithe. We're going to tie, it's Paul and Mark. Mark is the brother. And Mark said, hey, here, let's do this. And by the way, they split, and Mark took all the salons, and Paul took all the hair care products. And so, I mean, they're still brothers and love each other, obviously, but they just kind of split the business. And so Mark said, hey, here's what I'm going to do, and here's what we're going to do. We're going to tithe not only personally, but listen, guys, we're going to tithe on the business. And so they started tithing on the business. So whatever the business came in, the profits, they started tithing on it. And you know, their business exploded. Exploded. And then Mark, here about 12 years ago, 10 years ago, 10, about 10 years ago, Mark left his wife. And he got caught up with several of the ladies that he would hire to, because they had a salon school, you know, and so he got caught up in some inappropriate things, and then he quit tithing, and he quit serving God, and he noticed a direct correlation that his business began immediately to start struggling. And you can say, well, he was making poor decisions. Absolutely. But what he did was he removed God in every way. And it's not until he goes, oh my goodness, I can't live like this. I got to get my eyes off the world, and God, here I am again, that he's going to notice a difference for the positive. But he said, and he'll tell you, his business never changed until the moment he decided to tithe. And then he couldn't keep up with it. Guys, I'm telling you, God is true to his word. God means what he says. He says what he means. And if he says that he'll bless us, he's going to bless us. But we got to take the first step. Don't say, I want the blessings of God, but you're not willing to do what God says because you're not going to get the blessings of God. Then you get mad and you blame God. Don't do that. Step out and trust God and see if he doesn't bless you like he said he would. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I just thank you for your word, and Lord, you know where I'm at with Stewardship Month, and Lord, I'm just thankful that it's over. Because Lord, I know that as we go through this month, that Lord, just sometimes it just gets pretty negative. Lord, please let everyone in here know I'm not after their money, that you're after their heart. And then, Lord, I just pray that as each one steps up to trust you, Lord, that you will bless them. And, Lord, as you always show yourself so faithful, that you would just show them that when they trust you, you are so dependable and that you never go back on your word. Lord, I just thank you that you love us enough to tell us exactly what is all required of us, that you expect, that gives us opportunity to grow spiritually and to be blessed, however that looks. And Lord, I just praise you today. I praise you for what you've done in this church, Lord, what you have done through the faithful. Because, Lord, had you not stepped in and taken over, there's no way Connecting Point would be here today. And, Lord, I am just thankful for that. And so, Lord, I pray your hand upon each and every one here today. Lord, today, grab hold of the fact that I'm just trying to teach your word in context and show that you just want to bless. Lord, I'm not trying to get in anybody's pockets. I'm trying to get into their hearts. So in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.